The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, in fairness to our politicians, they are looking at the issue of climate change and climate action with great interest. And there was recently an all-party committee reached agreement on a series of actions to try and improve Ireland's response to global warming. These included proposals for a series of carbon tax rises up to 2030, with the first increase likely to be in the next budget coming in October. However, Sinn Féin and Solidarity People Before Profit voted against the report because of the carbon tax measures. And then today we saw the ESRI, the Economic and Social Research Institute, claimed that a carbon tax could reduce emissions by up to 10%, but here's the kicker, reduce income inequality, despite the concerns that poorer families would be worst hit by a tax. Now, we'll go to Breathe Smith in a moment, but Eamon Ryan is leader of the Green Party. Just explain how the ESRI has come to that conclusion.
Well, they have the best modelling of what's happening in the economy. And if they looked at that proposal, which we put originally, got about a year ago now, that if you returned the money to the people, so, OK, you'd raise the price of pollution, the price of carbon in a tax, but all the revenue, you could either return it as a flat per household, or actually what they're proposing is you'd do it in a further progressive way, where the lower the income, the higher amount of money that would come back. And there's fairness in that, because lower income households tend to pollute less, they consume less. What they show is that in either of those scenarios, if it's a flat across the board to every household return, there's a net benefit to those households with lower income. But if you do it in the more progressive variation, which seems to make sense to me, you actually have quite a significant improvement in income inequality, as well as the 10% reduction in emissions you talked about. So their best analysis is this can be good in terms of helping those on lower incomes and good at lowering emissions. And that's, I think, a significant piece of evidence that we will look at as we consider what we recommend next, what should go into the budget in October.
Breed Smith, would you be minded to change your mind now as a result of what the ESRI is saying, if they're saying this could actually be good for poorer families?
Oh, hi, Matt and Eamon. How are you doing? No, unlike Eamon and unlike many people, I'm underwhelmed and unimpressed by predictions from the ESRI, and I'm not at all surprised that they're producing a report that backs up a decision that's already made, both politically and economically, both at the committee and accepted by the government and most of the parties in Dáil Éireann. I actually think that their report is extremely flawed, and what they set out to do is to say that the implementation of massive increases in carbon tax will see emissions come down by so many percent. Actually, there's no evidence for that anywhere. And they don't. They may be using economic models of prediction, as Eamon says, but that doesn't take into account how that actually changes human behaviour, because the Taoiseach and everybody, including Eamon's party, who advocate an increase in carbon taxes, acknowledge that this isn't about being punitive, it's about trying to change people's behaviour. And I'm absolutely baffled to see how you would change the behaviour of people by giving them back money that they've already spent and then say to them, now change their behaviour. How does that do it when most people who are at the lowest end of the income brackets cannot afford to retrofit their homes, cannot afford to buy an electric vehicle? In her campaign, I heard Saoirse McHugh make this exact same point, that living on Achill Island, there's one bus out in the morning, one bus home in the evening. She lives in a 200-year-old house, and she's not exactly your typical, you know, there's lots of people are much less well off than Saoirse. She cannot afford to retrofit her home or to provide herself with an electric vehicle. So how do we change people's behaviour by implementing a tax that I think is a distraction from what really needs to be done, which is a very, very serious intervention in the way we live? And I know Eamon would agree with me that this is only, he would say that this is only one tool in a kit that is about to implement measures to change our emissions and to reduce our emissions and to reach our targets. But experience around the globe has shown that it becomes the only tool in the kit when it's implemented, because
let Eamon respond to that,
as an excuse by governments to have dealt with the issue.
It can't be the only tool here that we're using. And we do need not one bus service to Saoirse's village in the west coast of Achill, but 12, and the same to every rural community. And yes, we have to set up the low-cost finance mechanism to help people retrofit their houses. So we're going to have to do everything. And the scale
help
of the challenge...
Help, Eamon. If, please explain to me
because
how this
it, Because it would be one of the parts. It would say the best analysis we have, and won't be critical of the ERSI, but that's our leading modelling agency, our best independent economic analysis, thinks it will be delivered between 5 and 10% of the overall cut. But the...
They also said to us years ago, Eamon, that... that the economy was going to continue growing at a rapid rate when a recession was staring us in the face.
Yeah, no, there's nothing.
Why would
you
just accept their predictions?
You're
used to dealing with the science around this, as I am. Why not try and deal with the economic science? Their predictions are flawed.
The other economic science we have to face today, and it's interesting today that these two studies are out at the one time, the Environmental Protection Agency have come out with their projection, and this is just predictions, but it's based on the best analysis, that actually, rather than going to a 30% reduction in our emissions by 2030, which is what we need to do, it's forecasting that we're actually heading to a 10% increase. And the reality around that, and this isn't wild projections, this is what's actually happening, is it's likely to cost us about 2.5 billion euros a year. Or it could. It depends on the price of carbon in the future. But that's a good estimate.
Costs who? In what way?
The Irish people.
The government has to pay fines.
The government would have to buy our way out of that solution.
Sorry, I want to just change the side. Eamon, I just want an explanation for people, right? People pay their income taxes, they pay VAT on the things that they buy. Carbon taxes, is there going to be a separate line taken out of their pay for carbon taxes, or is it all going to be delivered through higher prices on certain things, such as their electricity and the petrol they might put in their car?
Nothing is decided yet. We've decided to try and avoid what happened to the water charges, where it was just imposed without any debate. So we continue to look at the options. My expectation is it would be done the same way as that the existing carbon tax is imposed. And the way that's done is when an oil tanker comes into the Whitegate refinery down in Cork, it's at that point of entry where you apply it, or where the gas comes at the pipeline in from the UK, again, it's at the point of entry, you tax the fossil fuel companies who are delivering that
fossil
fuel.
And then in turn, they
pass it on. Then typically, they mightn't pass all of it on, but they...
Or they might pass more than it on.
They could. They set the prices. It's in a market. But it is at the point of entry into the country, so it's relatively easy to collect. The Breed is right in terms of it is not the be-all and end-all, and if it was the only mechanism we were using, it would not work, and we should avoid that scenario.
Okay.
We should be debating everything else. But can I just say...
Hold on a second. We do debate all the other items in this programme in relation to how we deal with carbon change. I mean, we've debated in the past in relation to the role of agriculture, the role of industry, the role of public transport, and we will do so again. But today I want to talk about the carbon tax, because that's the thing that people could find takes more out of their pockets. Now, it does strike me, Breed, listening to that, is there not a certain logic in relation to a carbon tax in that it is a consumption tax? So the more that you consume and the more damage you do to your consumption, the more you pay as a punishment almost.
Okay, so please explain to me, both yourself and Eamon, explain to me how that is going to help the half a dozen people that live in my neighbourhood who I'm currently representing to try and get intervention from the SEAI to support them in getting their homes retrofitted. They earn too much to be entitled to grants because they're not on what's considered fuel poverty, because they don't have the fuel allowance. They don't have the fuel allowance package. They don't earn enough to be able to do it themselves. They cannot afford to turn off the gas or to buy less coal.
But
how does it even help?
But Breed, the answer, it helps in this
changing
way.
Changing your behaviour and making you colder not being able to get a bus does not actually reduce our emissions.
The whole point
here is to reduce our emissions. Please tell me how that helps.
It helps in this way.
Eamon.
If you do what we've been recommending, what the ESRI have analysed, and this is not rocket science or it's not very complicated, if you return that money that's raised in the tax, and if you particularly return it in a way that is progressive, that those households are talking about who are in lower income, the ESRI have analysed that cash benefit, because it's cash back to them, either in a social welfare payment or in a tax credit, would see a 5% increase in their net cash to be spent. It would be more money
in
their pockets.
It wouldn't be enough probably to pay for their retrofitting.
There's a listener here who says,
why not incentivise people to reduce their carbon footprint rather than penalise them with higher grants for solar panels and electric cars to make them affordable to people? Taxes will make people anti-green and anti-eco-conscious.
And that's why we do want to return the cash, so it's not seen as a punitive thing. But Paul Kenny, who I think most people in the Oireachtas Committee who looked at this recognise as one of the leaders, leaders thinking in terms of how we retrofit homes. He was in the Oireachtas Committee 2 weeks ago and was answering that, asking the question, how do we do it? He said it was vital to be able to help get the incentives in place to deliver those retrofit programmes, that you do also have a carbon tax so that the benefits of switching to the cleaner fuels is clear. It is only one of the things we need to do. We need to completely change our entire transport budget. We need to tackle the problem at source with the likes of Breed's Bill to cut out the exploration of oil and gas in Irish waters. We need to completely change our agricultural system, our forestry system, our land use system and our waste system. But it will help. And every help we have, we need, because we're so far off track that every 5 or 10% is going to get us back in the right direction.
Yeah, but this listener makes a really good point. How much tax are we already paying on petrol and diesel? Because if the bulk of what you pay at the petrol pump or diesel pump is tax, and it is way more than 50%, it doesn't stop people driving their cars.
No, it doesn't. What will have to be done to make that switch? Well, firstly, we'll have to promote walking and cycling and make it safe to do so. Secondly, we'll have to promote the bus services out to the west of Acklin and every other part of this country. And that requires a switch away from the current obsession on roads and car-based systems. We have 51 major motorways and national roads either being built or in the planning phase. We don't have a single public transport equivalent. Okay. So it requires widespread political change.
You can make the last point. Just after I read this comment from Sean, I'm a middle income. I can't afford retrofitting or an EV. Taxing me more isn't going to make it any easier for me to save for those things. Last word to you, Breed Smith.
I want to agree entirely with Sean. I just want to point out at no stage was anybody on the Climate Action Committee or anybody in the government, or indeed I haven't seen it in the ERSI report, able to prove to us that increasing carbon taxes actually changes human behaviour in and of itself and actually reduces carbon emissions into the atmosphere. If it did, we would have seen a significant reduction in places like Alberta and Canada, but instead we have the contradiction that in Alberta the government continued to use the Alberta sands to extract fossil fuel at the same time as imposing a carbon tax. It is a ruse, it is used as a distraction, and we should not think that it is going to help us to deal with the absolute urgency that we're faced with.
And we have to do all the others plus that, and if we can, we can actually make people's better off in the pocket. This is a better economy in the end.
Eamon Ryan and Breed Smith, thank you both for joining us. Listener says, don't cut down all the trees to facilitate bus corridors because you're only increasing pollution by doing so. That's an argument for another day.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.